Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Feel good this winter by getting the flu vaccine at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Disposable vapes, they look set to be banned in the UK. Up to 5 million single-use vapes are being thrown away there every single week. They were banned from this year's Electric Picnic Festival in order to protect the land that the festival site is on. And campaigners say the global disposable vape market uses 90 tonnes of lithium and around 1,600 tonnes of copper. Here, a bill is being introduced that would ban the sale of vaping products to those under the age of 18. So just to have a look at other countries and how they're dealing with these disposable vapes, I'm joined by Andrew Waugh, Associate Professor in Health Sciences at the University of Otago in New Zealand, Linda Bald, Professor of Public Health at Edinburgh University, and also John Litchfield, who's a journalist in Paris. Andrew, we'll start with you. I know you've stayed up late to talk to us in New Zealand on the South Island there. New laws coming into force where you are. How tough and targeted will they be?
Well, we've got just recently that our government passed some very strong laws about to do with smoking. So they're going to be very tough in the sense that we hope they'll get rid of smoked tobacco. They don't really address the vaping so much. So we've got some regulations coming in regulating vaping, but it's not really going to do a lot to push it down. And we're similar to like the UK and Australia and America, where we've got really high vaping rates, especially among our young people.
Mm. So is it mostly among young people that you're seeing vaping growing?
Yeah. Well, that's what we've observed. It's, you know, ideally for people who smoke, who can't really quit, that's where we'd hope the vapes would sort of step in there. But we're getting a very, you know, large population of young people who've never smoked taking out the vapes. And so it's around 10-15% in our young people's population, but very high amongst Māori, the Indigenous peoples there. So it's over 20% for them. So that's a rate that we haven't seen in terms of our smoking for daily vaping compared to our smoking since nearly 2000. So we seem to have really regressed in that aspect.
Because in Australia, we know that vapes are only available by prescription now. Is there any public pressure to follow their lead?
I think there is. I mean, it's they've got a different sort of regulatory environment over there, but vapes are still pretty available over the internet. I'm not sure the regulations have come in just yet. We're watching with interest. Some, you know, one of the issues with having an over prescription means that people who smoke who really can't quit using any other method need to switch to vapes. It makes it very hard for them. But the flip side is we've got to make sure we're protecting our young people from vaping. So we're watching with interest in some stuff that we really want to follow. You know, obviously this show's about disposable vapes, and we're really concerned about that because they're particularly appealing to young people. The flavours, the accessibility, all that sort of thing. And then, of course, what happens when they chuck them away.
Mm-hmm. And we have the same problem here where you've got cotton candy flavour and bubblegum flavour, and they're also, they look like highlighter pens. So in theory, you can put them in your pencil case, right, and conceal them.
Yep, absolutely. They're easily concealable. We've got a big issue with vaping in schools. It doesn't just affect, you know, the people who are vaping, but, you know, all the other kids around them. You know, like, they tend to vape in the toilets, and I'm sure that's the same over there, and it makes it really uncomfortable for kids who want to go in and use those facilities to use them. So, yeah, really concealable, really easy to use discreetly in class because they don't have the big vapor clouds, all that sort of thing. So it's a product that's kind of I think is tailored for the young person, especially because, you know, as we probably know, the disposables tend to be aren't probably the sort of products that a smoker who wants to quit or switch over to vapes would use. They'd probably use a more sort of reusable device.
Mm-hmm. And the concern here, certainly, and a study has been done which shows that this is leading young people into smoking tobacco. Is that a concern there?
There's some support for the gateway hypothesis for us because we've got these strong laws coming in over the next few years. We've got next year we've got the number of retailers who are able to sell tobacco cut by 90%, and then the following year nicotine in our tobacco products is going to drop down to less than 10%. And then the following year, we're introducing the smoke-free generation. So the opportunity to switch into cigarettes isn't such an issue in Aotearoa New Zealand, but there is the issue around using other products or sticking other things in your vapes as well, which we've seen in other countries too.
Okay.
So not potentially smoking, but maybe other behaviours.
Andrew, thank you very much for joining us from New Zealand. I want to go to Scotland now and to Linda Bald, Professor of Public Health at Edinburgh University. Linda, it's good to talk to you again. We haven't spoken since the heady days of COVID, and now today it's on a completely different topic. Mm-hmm. Vaping in Scotland, how prevalent is it? Do you have figures?
Yeah, morning, Claire. So we have similar position to New Zealand. We're in favour of vaping for smoking cessation. I've done some of the trials. It's highly effective, but we're really worried about youth vaping. So just to give you some figures, we've seen a 50% rise in experimentation amongst teenagers. This is across all of Great Britain in vaping in the last year between March 23 and the previous year. Regular vaping has stayed pretty stable in teenagers, but the really striking thing, Claire, is it's the disposables that are driving this trend. So in 2021, 7.7% of teenagers who vaped reported they used a disposable device. It's gone up to 69% in 2023 amongst those who vape. So because of this technology disruption, in contrast to the refillable cartridge-type devices, tank devices that Andrew was mentioning, these are the products that young people seem to be choosing, and they're creating problems, which is why the Scottish government is consulting on a ban of this particular category, disposable vapes.
Mm-hmm. And they're really cheap and they're very readily available, aren't they?
They are. I mean, they're available for as little as £1.99. So what's that, about €2? And, you know, when we ask young people where do they buy them, the most common source actually is in a corner shop, a shop. So our age of sale, which I know you were introducing in Ireland, we have it, but it's not being enforced. So that's an issue. The other big angle for this category of products, in contrast to the refillables, tanks, etc., is the environmental impact. And actually, I think that's what's driving much of the discussion here. So a big report from Zero Waste Scotland, just showing about the batteries, as you mentioned, the packaging, the materials, they're really tough to recycle. So we're creating another environmental problem as well as potentially a youth vaping problem. Mm.
And the reusable ones, the ones with the refillable tanks, are they more likely to be used by adults who are trying to quit smoking, so they're ready to make an investment?
That's correct. So when you look at the Great Britain-wide survey data, again from 2023, this is the Ash YouGov survey, over half of adult vapers report that they're using a refillable tank. That's the most popular type. They tend to do that outlay. They spend the money for the device and then they reuse it. So that's what we want ex-smokers and current smokers who are trying to quit to be using. About 30% of adults are using disposables, but it's just because they're so prevalent in the market. I think if we did remove this category of product, there still would be plenty of products for adult smokers trying to quit who are vaping, but we also just need to keep an eye on the illicit trade, which might spring up if you ban any category. Mm.
And for anyone who's using vapes, and in particular people who are using them not because they want to give up smoking, but because they decide to embark on a vaping journey for whatever reason, we don't fully understand whether there are any health implications. Is that right?
Well, we have over a decade of studies, so we do have some idea. I mean, vaping, regular vaping amongst teenagers or adults who've never smoked is still actually relatively rare, not zero because everybody's seeing it, but it's the majority, even of teenagers, are also experimenting with cigarettes, whatever. We need to, you know, deal with that. But the long-term health risks for never smokers, we don't fully understand because we don't have the data, but it's highly likely there will be respiratory effects. Obviously, these products contain nicotine, which is addictive, and if kids are using them in the toilets at school, etc., it's disruptive. They may not be able to concentrate. They'll be agitated. They'll be craving their next vape. So there's loads of reasons why we don't want young people who've never smoked to be vaping.
Thank you very much, Linda. Linda Ball there in Scotland. And now to France and journalist John Litchfield. John, thank you for joining us this morning. What is the attitude to using disposable vapes in France? And is it common to see people using them?
Well, amongst kids, very similar situation to what we just heard from Scotland and New Zealand. Yeah, there was a report recently that 13% of 13 to 16-year-olds in France had at least tried vaping, and quite a lot of them were this is disposable vapes, which are known as puffs or perfs in France. And 4 or 5 days ago, the Prime Minister, Elizabeth Bourne, announced that there would be a new anti-tobacco drive coming later this winter or early next year, and she suggested there would be a complete ban on disposable vapes in France as the result of that. I mean, interestingly, Elizabeth Bourne, the Prime Minister, is known to be a vapor herself. She's got in trouble for vaping in Parliament and vaping in public places, which is technically illegal in France.
Mm-hmm. But she's a fan of vapes. Does she use disposable ones? Do you know?
I've never seen her. No, I mean, she'd look a bit strange with one of these ones that look like crayons in her mouth. No, whenever I've seen her do it, she's always had one of the more permanent ones.
So clearly, if the government are planning to take action and potentially ban disposable vapes, it's a big topic, is it, where you are?
Yeah, it has become an issue. I mean, they've only been available in France for a couple of years, as I understand it. I don't know about other countries. And they have had a real boom for all the reasons that we've been hearing in France. And what Elizabeth Bourne said was that, although she's a smoker herself, she believed in trying to sort of stamp out smoking, stop younger people turning to smoking, and she feared that disposable vapes especially were a kind of gateway drug to tobacco. And, you know, the argument for that is that, fine, it may be cool if you're 14 to have a little vape that looks bright red and tastes of candy floss, but maybe not when you're 17. So, you might then start puffing on cigarettes. And so for that reason, just the availability of them, the fact that so many young people are using them, it's felt that they are potentially in the long run a health issue. Not so much the environmental issue has been stressed here, although, of course, that's in the background as well.
Yes, John, thank you very much. John Litchfield there, Linda Bald and Andrew Waugh. Very interesting to get the perspective of the perspectives from other countries on disposable vapes as we discuss them here and what to do about them. We'll take a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.